Today's sermon is entitled Follow Directions. It's based upon 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 20, and on Matthew 2, 1 through 8. Follow Directions. There was a popular song that came out in 1978 by the artist Warren Zevon. It was entitled Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Warren had a knack for writing some humorous lyrics. In this song, Warren speaks as a kind of a reckless man of the world. In one verse he sings, I was gambling in Havana, I took a little risk, send lawyers, guns, and money, Dad, get me out of this. Now, I've never gambled in Havana, but there have been times that I've given my father a call, and speaking as a father, I've received a call from my son in times, not necessarily asking for lawyers and guns, but certainly asking for money, and asking for help, particularly when you find yourself in trouble for a misstep, a transgression of some kind, and you end up kind of needing to be bailed out. It's nice to be bailed out, whether literally or figuratively. It's nice to have someone either rich or influential to come to your aid when you take a wrong turn at Albuquerque and end up behind the wrong kind of bars. But sometimes it's better for us not to be bailed out. Sometimes it's better that no one sends us lawyers, guns, or money, because if we're always bailed out, we never learn. We fail to grow. Today I want to conclude our series on this journey by pointing out that God sometimes does allow us to walk down the wrong paths and does not immediately respond when we cry out to Him, so that we can actually learn from our mistakes, get back on the right path, and help others down the road from going astray. And we should be thankful that God does put angels or messengers in our path to warn us and to redirect us, because without such messengers, we would be all in a very big world of hurting. Today I'll use the scripture passages to illustrate three obstacles to following God's instructions, which help explain why we can avoid them, why we can avoid following His instructions for so long. My prayer is that you will recognize these obstacles as they appear in your life, and that you would recognize how important it is to stick in God's direction, walking on the path that He wants you to walk along, so that you can help others along that same path. To begin, though, there's one common problem that will lead anyone to stray, and that is separation from God's voice, a voice that we can only hear when we pray, when we study Scripture, and when we hear it from God's ambassadors, from good people. I'm going to focus on those first two later on God's voice heard through prayer and through Scripture, because in this world there are so many false prophets, there are so many leaders in churches and other things that are really leading people down the wrong path, and it tends to be a kind of a looked on as a marketplace where you can join the church that says what you want it to say, and that's not what Christianity is about. It really is about following Jesus Christ, and for that you need scripture study. For that you need to be fervent in your prayer life. So let me go on and talk a little bit about those obstacles to walking down the right path. Going down the wrong path is so easy. It's such an easy thing to do, and it begins when we distance ourselves from the Word of God. You know, in the story of the fall in the Garden of Eden, we find one human being listening to a talking serpent who tells her that if she bites this fruit, that her eyes will be opened, that she'll be like God, knowing good from evil. And all this sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, who wouldn't want to have their eyes open? Who wouldn't want to be like God? Of course, the catch is in the knowing the good and evil, is that you have to experience the evil to know what it is. And that's not such a good thing. Experiencing evil is not such a fun thing. But that's the part that the human doesn't want to hear, because that person has already distanced themselves from God's voice. Now they break God's rules, and now they know what is evil, and suddenly they feel a great separation from God. And of course, I said they, because it doesn't take long for the second reason why it's so easy to stray on the wrong path. The second reason is it's so easy is because misery finds company. The first reason is that when you separate yourself from God's voice, it's easy to hear good things. Things sound good on paper. But the second one is that you can quickly find other people who are willing to walk down the path of ruin with you. In today's Old Testament lesson, we find this whole nation of Israel taking this wrong path together. They have good reason to pick the wrong path, just like Eve had good reasons to bite into the fruit. For Israel, they're looking at the current leadership and they're saying, well, it's corrupt. They're also looking around them and saying, all these foreign nations who have kings, they're beating up on us pretty bad. If we united and had a strong army, we would be able to defend ourselves. So there are two good reasons why they should go down the wrong path, even though Samuel advises against it, and Samuel's speaking on behalf of God who's advising against it. Yet they have good reasons. And because they're a whole nation together, it's so easy for them to say, yeah, we want to go. It's mob mentality. We'll do it. We can do this. And so they all make the bad choice by saying, we want a king. We want a king. Okay, so those are two reasons why it's so easy to go down the wrong path. And the third is, I think, is because we tend to learn things the hard way. It's noteworthy that God allows people to have their way in the Old Testament lesson, to choose to have a king. And it seems the only person that sees what a catastrophe this is going to be is Samuel. And he is none too pleased by the people's obstinance. And he tells the people what will happen. But the people head down the wrong path anyway. We may think that it's wrong for God to allow people to head down this road to ruin, but sometimes that's the only way we learn our lesson. We tend to learn things the hard way. It's not that God doesn't give us a chance. Doesn't he gave Israel a chance. He spoke and said, "This is all that's going to happen to you when you're a king." But when people decide not to listen to God, God will permit them to ignore him. So God allows us to learn from our mistakes. That's another reason it's so easy to go down the wrong path. Sometimes we have to learn things the hard way, and God lets it happen. And sadly, there are some folks who never learn despite everything, and this is a real tragedy. The good news for Israel was that there would be redemption, even though they would make the bad choice of having a king. Other prophets would rise up and the people would listen to them eventually, and things would change and they'd get on the right path. And even when the temple was destroyed and the people were scattered, somehow they were able to come together around the word of God. So there was redemption there. But real tragedy occurs when we become completely deaf to God's word, when we close our ears entirely to God. And that's what happens in our gospel message about King Herod, who is truly a tragic figure in this. One historian has described him as a madman who murdered his own family and a great many rabbis. There are other pretty incriminating descriptions of him. Now, how would you like to have that kind of a legacy, to be known as a murderer, murdering your own family? How could you bring yourself to do such a thing? The slaughter of the innocents is what we know him for in the Bible, to kill babies because you're afraid of this King Jesus. That's what makes him a truly tragic figure. He goes mad. It's madness. That's the natural trajectory for anyone who completely closes themselves off to the word of God. It's absolute madness. Not everyone with absolute power becomes completely mad. We can think of a good many people, though, who have gone mad because of their absolute power. We can think of Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un, Idi Amin, Saddam Hussein, and his sons, just to name a few. But when, like King Herod, we have this absolute power and there's no one who will cross you, no one who will who you can no one who feels secure in telling you, hey, you're wrong because you're looking out for your own life. When that happens, and you're pretty much free to do whatever you want to do, You take anything and to take anything you want from anyone whenever you want. I mean, it sounds like a great thing, right? But it's the path that leads not only to hell, but it leads to madness, to a mind and a soul that are completely absent of God, to a mind and a soul that imagines oneself as God. As we look in history, we see that that's the kind of the trajectory of becoming king or emperor, is that eventually you start thinking yourself to be God. But in anyone's assessment, you look back and you would say all of these people who thought themselves are gods were, in a sense, evil gods. So we can thank God for godly critics. Having prayerful people rooted in God's word is it's essential for our faith journey in order to get us on the right path and to keep us there. In order to have this, we have to have prayerful people rooted in God's word. Without these two essential elements, though, prayer and familiarity with God's word, we are in danger of straying off course, of taking the wrong path. Anyone who has been to one of my Bible studies knows that I look really hard at the Bible, that I don't take it lightly. I take it so seriously that I'm very critical of it very often. Anyone who knows the church schedule knows that I start my day, or at least most of my days, with prayer at 6 in the morning. Usually at 6 a.m. again, but I have been known to sleep late, as I did this morning. I'm not saying any of this to boast to anyone, but it's a challenge and a warning. I'm far from perfect, and I know my own propensity to go down the wrong path. Would you be able to correct me if I started going astray, if I started teaching the wrong things? Are you familiar enough with God's love and God's will that you would be able to counsel me or any other pastor who stands here on Sunday? Because I could start preaching things that you might like to hear and that might serve to unite us from some great outside enemy, and we could all fall into line and to fight this outside foe. We could become an unwelcoming church. We could become a closed-minded church. We could become a club, a clique, and we'd be perfectly happy with ourselves in doing so, but we would no longer be a church. So would someone here have that spiritual grounding and that courage to say, as prosperous as this course may be, Matt, as popular as this course may be, you're wrong. This is not the word of God. We have to challenge ourselves. We have to challenge one another to discern the path of this Christ child and to keep one another on that path. The best way we can do this is to pay homage to Jesus by truly making him Lord of our lives. Making him Lord of our lives by disciplining ourselves to follow his word and prayerfully asking him for guidance, and then leading others to follow him as well, making disciples. Amen.